Jacob in our passage we'll be looking at. And you know, God is always speaking. We have it here. Question is, are we listening? And I say listening in the sense that just like when parents say, listen up, right? It's not, I want you to just hear what I'm saying. I want you to do what I'm telling you, right? And speak, O Lord, he is speaking. Are we listening? Are we obeying? We'll be in Genesis chapter 30, starting at verse 25, page 29 in the Chair Bible. Remember last time we looked at the house divided with the wife wars, as it were. And okay, I stopped having kids. Now you can have my handmaid because I want to stay ahead of my sisters and her handmaids, and just how that was not the way God intended things to be. And yet God still used even the human frailty and mistakes and sins to bring about a Judah through who the Messiah Jesus has come. So now, Jacob's ready to hit the road, but it's going to be another 6 years. So I've entitled this Taking Charge. We see Jacob doing what he can there, Laban, but ultimately God, the one that oversees and overrules all that men are doing. And he does that for us too, doesn't he? We don't always get it right. And he's still, being the all-powerful God, moves forward with his plan. Chapter 30, verse 25. As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own country, home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you, 14 years for them. But Laban said to him, if I found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages, and I will give it. Wow. This isn't quite the deal you think it is reading that. Jacob said to him, you yourself know how I've served you and how your livestock has fared with me, for you had little before I came that's increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. Excuse me. But now when shall I provide for my household, my own household also? He said, what shall I give you? Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep, every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen. Laban said, good. Let it be as you have said. But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in the charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees, and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places, where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. Okay, genetic people, does it work that way? Yeah. No. Okay. But we'll see what's going on here. Verse 40, and Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Now chapter 31 down to verse 16. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has gained all his wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field where his flock was, and said to them, I see that your father does not regard me with the favors he did before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength. Yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. That's why he said good back there, because he knew what he was going to do. But God did not permit him to harm me. Verse 8, if he said, the spotted shall be your wages, then all the flock bore spotted. If he said, the striped shall be your wages, then all the flock bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. In the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, I said, here I am. He said, lift up your eyes and see all the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance left to us in our father's house? Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? Nice dad, huh? For he has sold us and has indeed devoured our money. All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do. Let's pray. Lord, lengthy passage here, but help us to wrap our minds around who is really in charge here. We often think we are. We make decisions we think are best. But God, we thank you that you often overrule those things for your glory and for our good. Help us to see your hand even in the small things of our lives, as well as the big things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ever had to work with or live with the ultimate control freak? Don't answer it out loud. That person might be here, right? Maybe you're that person. We see Jacob and Laban both fitting that description because they're not trusting God to work out what is best. When it comes down to it, think about that. Sometimes everything has to be just the way we want, or what happens? We get angry. Anger is a pretty good sign a lot of times that we're not lacking trust in God. So let's first of all look at Jacob in taking charge. He's ready to go. He served his extra 7 years to get Rachel. He got Rachel a week after he got Leah, but he had to serve the 7 years. And he's itching to get out of there. If you had Laban for a father-in-law, you would too. I mean, think about that. Oh, I didn't tell you about our tradition. Yeah, the first has to be married. The oldest has to be married first. Oops, that's why he got Leah. But you can work another 7 years and you can have Rachel. Because I'm a nice guy. Right? Who wants to stay around with this trickster any longer than necessary? But as we talked about that, who also was a trickster? Yeah, Jacob himself. Tricked with mom's help, dad, and tricked his brother at a moment of hunger and weakness to get the birthright and blessing, which were legitimately his, by the way, but went about it the wrong way. And so he's ready to go, but God changes that, doesn't he? We see here that Laban makes an offer. And Jacob gets to set his own wages. And knowing his father-in-law, it's interesting because I believe what he's doing here is he's saying, I'm giving an offer he can't turn down. I'm offering to just take the minority of the sheep and goats. In other words, these were the ones that weren't normally born, speckled, the spotted, the black lambs. As we drive to Manila, we see sheep all the time. And every once in a while, we see a black one. But you can see a group of 100, 200, and maybe there's three or four black. So he's given him an offer that he can't refuse. But then his thinking is, but I know what I'm going to do. And he starts stripping the sticks and putting them in front of him. And we read all about that as he manipulates the breeding. And it's the same old Jacob. He's named Jacob because his name means trickster, supplanter. He's the one that's grabbing the heel of the brother as he's going out of the mother's womb because I want to be first. And he's lived life up to this point and through this time, and it's going to take Genesis 32 to turn Mr. Supplanter Trickster into Israel Prince with God. He meets God, he wrestles with God, and finds out you're not going to win. I've shared this with you folks before, that I'm not sure that the play or the movie or whatever came out of it is good or bad. I haven't seen it. but I like the title. Your arms are too short to box with God. Just, you're going to lose. Okay? So why do it? And here's Jacob relying on himself to get what he views as his rights. And as believers, one of the things we need to understand is, and it's drilled into us as American citizens, we have our rights. First Amendment rights, right to free speech, right to worship God as we want. Second Amendment, right to bear arms. And boy, we're going to bear them, baby. And if you come into our house in Wyoming and are uninvited, you're going to find out we bear arms, right? But once we come to Christ, we understand that all these rights, some of which are very legitimate, have to be put under God and what He wants us to do. I have the right to, yeah, but what if God wants you to do something different? What if God wants you to minister in a country where you can't bear arms? Okay, which is more important, taking the gospel to those people or bearing your arms? Okay? And well, yeah, your arms are too short to box with God, okay? If He says go, and you say, okay, there's certain, you know, you think about missionaries going and like the Millers there in Bolivia, which was very socialist. I guess they just recently elected somebody more conservative. But they're in a state where, you know, as an American citizen, they're thinking, we don't really like this. But what's more important, not liking the government you're under and leaving, or staying there and planting churches and seeing people come to Christ? So He views it as His rights, and He's going to manipulate things to the way He wants. And as we know, genetics shows. Mendel, is that the guy's name, I think, that did all the, and we know short hair, long hair, and crossing dogs, and all that kind of stuff, the experiments he did. But what's interesting is he's doing all this because he's not trusting God. And are you trusting God, or are you still trying to manipulate your way through your life? And just like Jacob found out, you're always going to find somebody that's smarter, faster, and trickier than you. And whether it be at work, whether it be in your family, whether it be in your neighborhood, we have to come to the place where we say, you know what? I'm going to trust God and do what's right, even if other people are manipulative. The temptation is, okay, I'm going to play this game back. I'm going to get them up what one. But is God going to really bless that? So Jacob's still the old man doing things his way. Now let's look at Laban. He's trying to control things too. He says, oh man, this is great. He's going to work for me for some more time, and he's not going to get much out of this. You can just see him sitting there. Boy, man, I can't believe he's going to stay a longer time. You know, I got him 14 years for my daughters, and now what can I trade? You know, he's probably thinking, what can I trade now? Well, maybe a few sheep. He allows Jacob to set the wages and accepts his offer. Mm-hmm. Because what is he thinking? Well, first of all, notice he keeps his distance, verse 35 and 36. As soon as they separate the goats, and as you read this, it's a little complicated, but I think what's happening here is the goats that Jacob says are going to be his, he sends with his sons 3 days away so they can't be part of the ones that'll start being reproducing and giving him the ones Jacob wants. Okay, I'm going to work this as best I can. So you see Jacob manipulating, you see Laban manipulating. And so he keeps his distance from Jacob, so they're not going to mate or anything like that. But then notice what we saw in chapter 31. As Jacob is sharing with his wives here and about ready to hit the road for sure, what does he say he did? Verse 6, you know that I've served your father with all my strength, and we'll find out next week, Lord willing, as we look at it, when Jacob is on the run from Laban and Laban catches up to him, he says, man, I was out there in the hot and in the cold and I worked my tail off basically for you. And he's kind of saying that here. I've served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. Is it literally 10? It might have been. Like every half year, pretty much. The first year, okay, saw how things were going. And then, oh man, all the spot and speckle. Okay, we're going to change it to this. We're going to change it to that. And Laban soon found out you can't outdo God. He tried. But God did not permit him to harm me. If he said the spotted shall be your wages, then all the flock were spotted. If he said the striped shall be your wages, then all the flock were striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father. Who in your life are you afraid will take advantage of you? Maybe there's people doing it now. We're not to be naive, okay? Understand, there are people out there that will use you. You see people on the job that way, you know, they're all the time sucking up to the boss, because they may talk to other people and can't stand the boss, but when they're around the boss, they're all nice and sweet and wonderful so that they can get a promotion or get a raise or whatever. And you see them maybe trying to throw you under the bus when something goes wrong and it was their fault. But think about it this way. What does God say? Vengeance is mine, I will repay. It's not my job to play the same game or to try to get even with them. Leave them in God's hands. He can do a lot better job. And the Bible's clear. He'll do it right at the right time. When we try to get even, we just make a bigger mess. I mean, go back to Jacob and his brother and that whole thing. And Esau ready to kill him. We don't have to put them in their place. We don't have to get even. We can trust God. But then the third thing we see here is God overruling while using man's feeble work. Okay? Sometimes we may be doing what's right. And God uses that, but supercharges it. Sometimes we may be doing what's wrong. Or like Jacob. You look at Jacob, and he wanted some good things. He wanted the birthright and blessing, being in the line of the Messiah. All the benefits that came with that materially as well. That's okay. But he went about it all the wrong way. And God does that with us too, doesn't he? We can look back and say, you know, I'm glad God stopped me there. Or I'm glad God turned that around because I was sure making a mess of it. And notice, first of all, God commands Jacob's return to Canaan, verses 3 and 13. Of chapter 31, he says, God said to him, and so this is God's timing. 6 years earlier, it was Jacob's timing, but what does Jacob now have? He has enough to take care of his whole family. Remember how big his family is now? At least he's got two wives, two concubines, I guess is how we would describe them. He has at least 12 kids because 11 of the boys have been born. Benjamin's going to be later. And Dinah, so that's a pretty good-sized family. And he's going to end up with servants. He's going to end up with lots of animals. That's why we'll see in the next passage when he gets away from Laban and takes Laban, I think, 3 days to find out he's gone. He can catch up with him because he's not hauling a bunch of animals and kids and wives, right? He commands Jacob's return to Canaan, verse 13. Again, we see that there in his dream. Now arise, go out from the land and return to the land of your kindred. But you know, in the back of his mind is going to be something, and we're going to see that come into play in chapter 32. What was the last words he heard his brother say? You're a dead man. I'm going to kill you. Or I'm going to kill my brother, and mom finds out. So getting away from Laban has its benefits, but there is that other thing about when I go back home, how's dad doing? Is mom alive? And we believe probably not. What's Esau's attitude toward me? I've got all this stuff. How am I going to fit into the land? Am I going to have a place to pasture them? Or am I going to have to just kill and eat them all? And a lot of things can be going through his mind. But what's interesting, and this is important, God has a way of showing us what to do and then confirming it through our circumstances. Now, we don't live on our circumstances, okay? Don't get me wrong. If the Bible says something clearly and our circumstances seem to be going a different direction, no, don't go with them. But oftentimes, when it's something like this, God's saying, you need to go back, it was confirmed, first of all, by what? How Laban and his sons were treating him, okay? You're not welcome here anymore. They were making it very clear. I mean, think about it. If you're Laban's sons and dad kept manipulating this all he could, but he keeps losing more and more of this flock. And the sons, this is our inheritance. This is our living, right? They're not going to be happy with Jacob. And so the family is kind of like, can you see a meal together? Some family reunions aren't so good, are they? sometimes people don't go because of that. Awkward at the table. But then notice, his wives also confirm it. He calls his wives in, and they make it very clear, you know, we've become strangers to our own family. You know, we were sold basically to you for 7 years labor. And now dad's not giving us anything. All we're getting is because of what God's given to you. So God uses the circumstances to help him see, yes, this is time to go. And as we look at our lives, you know, sometimes maybe we're praying about something. Lord, I'm not sure about maybe this job offer, or I'm not sure about living here or doing this or whatever it might be. Remember what the scripture tells us in the Psalms. Delight yourself in the Lord and what? He will give you the desires of your heart. Let's flip that around a little bit. Okay, what are the desires of my heart? Well, if I'm delighting myself in God, my desire is to do what he wants. I mean, what he wants me to do. And so then I can start looking at circumstances and saying, this may be God's way of confirming, yes, do this, or no, don't do that. And even asking God, Lord, if you don't want me to do this, slam the door in my face, make it clear. God can slam, really good. We've all had that happen sometimes, that, oh, that's certainly not going to work out. I was pastoring in Rexburg, and God was starting to make it clear that it was probably time to move. And we had a pastor friend who was starting a church in Burley, Idaho. And we had really good friends that had been in our ministry at Rexburg. Our kids were great friends with theirs. They were in Twin Falls, which Burley's not real far from Twin Falls. Rexburg kind of is. And we thought, well, maybe this will work out. We went and candidated, and the people said no. And it would be easier. Come on, it's me. You can want me, right? But God said no. And it's funny because, and I won't go into the detail, but some of the reasons that a few of the people, it was only six people voting, and so we had to get five of them, I think, to make the percentage, and we only got four. So we got 2/3 instead of 3/4, or however that's supposed to work out. And it was very nitpicky, the people that said no, and it'd be easy to, you know, focus on that and say, instead of saying, well, God said no. He can use picky people with what seems like a bad attitude, but that's okay. God's saying not there. And so then we ended up in Lander, Wyoming, and God used the circumstances there. So understand, if you really want what God wants and your heart's where it wants, he will use those desires. Maybe the abilities you have, the talents, whatever that might be. And so God makes it clear for its time to move. And then verses 5 through 12, what is really neat here is to see Jacob finally have the aha light bulb moment. We see him, okay, striped sticks in front of him here. They're going to come to the watering troughs. They're going to start breeding. And I'm going to get lots of sheep because they're looking at what I want them to be. Doesn't work that way. And even though he didn't know genetics, he gets to chapter 31 and says, what does he say twice? God did it. God did it. It wasn't my manipulation. God did it. He's starting to come to where he needs to be. He's not there yet, but he's getting there. God protects and provides for Jacob and his family. And Jacob finally gets it. And he's sharing that with his wives here. God protected me from your dad. I mean, can you imagine being on a job and you make a deal and then the boss keeps coming back and saying, I'll tell you what, I know you signed on for this wage, but let's try this instead. I tell you what, if your performance is really good, you'll get this much more. You see that with a lot of these sports contracts anymore, you know, they're trying to save money to get all the guys on the team. And so then they have some deferred salary, or if you make the playoffs, then you get this much or whatever. Well, can you imagine getting yanked back and forth over and over again with that and thinking, how am I going to provide for my family? This is ridiculous, right? But he looks back and he says, guess what? Your dad kept cheating me, but God did not permit him to harm me. Can you picture Laban? I changed it this, and now they're all that. What? Okay, I'm going to change it again. Now they're all that? Come on. You'd think after 4 or 5 times, he would just say, I can't box with God, right? Arms are too short. But he kept trying. He was pretty thick-skulled, I guess. He protects and provides for Jacob and his family. And isn't that what God's good at doing? Isn't that what he's promised? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Read Matthew 6 or get there in the Sunday school class in the Sermon on the Mount, where he's saying, you know, here's poor people that are worried about getting by, and then here's rich people that are just worried about having more. Money can cause us to worry either way. I don't have enough. I've got too much. What am I going to do with it? He protects, he provides. He's good at that. We can trust him. Two things as we close. One, you know, in salvation, and this is something we're dealing with, and maybe there's somebody here who believes this still. Many people think they're in charge of their own salvation. If I just do enough, God will let me into heaven. Okay, I'll join the church. And I've met people who, they've joined about every religion there is out there, thinking somehow, whatever God's out there, he's going to be pleased if I hit the right one, or if I at least was there at some point. Or if I get baptized. Baptism is good for Christians. Testimony of your faith and wanting to follow Christ, but doesn't get you to heaven. The thief on the cross, he didn't get baptized. God has taken charge of our salvation. Remember, the Bible over and over calls it a gift. You don't earn a gift. You accept a gift. So when we, in repentance and faith, turn to Christ, that's just us saying, I'm a needy sinner, and thank you for the gift. I'm taking that because I can't get myself to heaven. Only the blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. We need to accept the gift. For us as believers, we don't need to take charge. And I think Tyler's message last week folds right into this, doesn't it? Living sacrifice. What did he keep hammering? And he used personal illustrations, even in dating and eventually marrying his wife, right? He says, I didn't want it to be my decision. So when I saw her on campus, I was actually rooting for him for 3 months till God put them together. And then he said, okay, God, this is clearly what you want me to do. But what he kept saying was, you let God make the choices. God makes the choices. And that's something we need to learn. Jacob was trying to manipulate, and then he stepped back and said, God did it. Didn't need me. We need to follow God's lead. We know we sing the hymn, trust and obey. But there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and then do what he tells us to do. That's the result of trust. It takes Jacob 6 years to recognize God gave him all he had, and it wasn't his manipulation that did it. And folks, it's not our manipulation that's going to do it. It's trusting God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the examples in your word. Paul wrote the Corinthians and made it clear that much of the Old Testament is there just to remind us of what not to do and what to do. But in all of it's a reminder that you, God, are the hero. You're the one that always does what is right and best. Help us to understand that. Learn it, practice it, grow in it, encourage one another in it. And Lord, I pray if there's one here who's still trying to somehow please you by what they do to get to heaven, that they would see it's another manipulation. The price has been paid. The gift is there to receive and trust in Christ, and that they would do that even this day. Help us as we go forth from here, Lord, to live out the truths we've heard. You have spoken. May we obey, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.